welcome into this week's episode of The Vertical View. In this episode, we will jump into the world of small college athletics, where I spent the last 30 years of my working career. I will chat with Roberts Wesleyan College's Director of Athletics, Mr. Robert Seagave. Bob serves Roberts Wesleyan College as their Director of Athletics, and he leads with a compassionate spirit, focused on providing his many coaches and student athletes with an outstanding educational and transformational experience, all the while competing within the NCAA Division II. Bob and I will discuss how Roberts Wesleyan College, his Red Hawk Athletics Department, and other small college athletics departments are dealing with the COVID-19 pandemic. We will hear what the plans are for the fall season of D2 athletic competition, and we'll also hear how his coaches and staff are recruiting, retaining, and supporting their student athletes. All of that and more on this episode of The Vertical View. So, if you're ready, I know I am, let's get vertical. I want to welcome Bob Seagave to our podcast. Hey, Bob, how are you doing?
Great, Chris. How are you doing?
Man, well, we've been sharing our tea together here, so it's great to have Bob, a good friend, on. Bob's the director of athletics at Roberts Wesleyan College in Rochester, New York. He's been, I think, AD now for 5 years. Is that right, Bob?
Yeah, it's been five.
Started in 2015, succeeded Mike Farrow, good friend of both of ours. And Mike retired after 33 years, right?
Yeah. Quite a run, right?
That's right. Bob also coached women's basketball for 8 years, from 07 to 2015, over 100 wins during that time. And I thought the most amazing thing, Bob, for those 8 years, six of them you were coach of the year. You never told me that.
Well, you know, you don't want to pin that on your back, but you know, it's always nice to get recognized by your peers. But the bigger thing, you know, is always how do we transform lives, right? You know that.
Yeah.
And you did that. And you know, I just hope everybody does realize I have followed literally in your shoes. You coached the women at Roberts before I did. You left for Southern Wesleyan and on your way and left women's basketball coaching to become athletic director. So, you know, I figured I should do the same thing. So maybe the next thing is a podcast. Who knows?
Clearly, it's going to be a Bobcast.
There you go.
That I just named your podcast.
Look at that.
Welcome to the Bobcast.
Wonderful.
The birth of a podcast.
We'll remember this day. Yeah.
Yes. So, we're going to jump right into it.
Great.
All right. So we're going to get to know Bob a little bit through a game called Five Bullet Points. And we're just going to pop through five questions to get to know Bob. And then Bob, if you're ready, I'm ready.
I'm at the starting line.
All right. So, and everybody knows I'm from Rochester. You're a long time, you're a native, you know, so Nick Tahoe's and the garbage plate is famous.
You know there. It. Yeah.
All right. But what's your favorite food from Rochester?
So I love, and they're really from Buffalo, but I'm going to go with the chicken wings.
Yep.
Anchor
Bar.
At Jeremiah's. Well,
you're at Jeremiah's.
We don't have an Anchor Bar here. We have one in Buffalo, and I'll admit that when we're in Buffalo, we do go to the Anchor Bar. But here, it's Jeremiah's. Voted best wings in the area for I don't even know how many straight years, and they are wonderful with 18 different at least kinds of sauces on there, and it's great. I gotta say, growing up Italian though, also pizza's a biggie. We have Perry's Pizza here, and that is my grandma's recipe. That was made in my grandma's basement. Taken by my cousins, and they opened up Perry's Pizza. So you get a taste of grandma if you get that in. So that's always got a soft place in my heart.
Man, just throwing out facts like that.
Look at that. Uh-huh.
That should be episode one of the Bobcast.
It might be. We're Bobcasting live from Rochester, New York. Yeah.
Question two, Bob. What do you believe is your primary role as the AD at Roberts Wesleyan?
I like to introduce myself at like parents' panels and open houses as the head of Red Hawks Nation. I do nice. Think that everything Red Hawk flows from our department across campus to the student body, out to the community. And I want to do everything I can daily to be promoting that brand and making sure that, you know, everybody knows that we are all Red Hawks, not just the people who play sports, but the fans in the stands, the community, the region being the only D2 in this area at yep. the NCAA level. Just making sure that I am kind of waving the flag every day.
Yeah, you're the head brand guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say you do a great job with it, from your social media sites and pictures that you post, but even just seeing you do your job on campus and off.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah.
You do a great job with that.
Let's jump into this. As you know. Yeah, go.
Oh, my word. There's not enough hours in the day for athletic directors.
Right.
So that might be the negative, the hours. What's mm-hmm. the most rewarding part of being an AD?
I think it's still being able to guide and direct, because, you know, as you know, as a former coach too, that's in your blood, right? But you're just coaching a new team. You're coaching your coaches. You're coaching your administrators. So you still have a team that you're directing. So I've enjoyed that part. And then still being able to be involved with the students. Part of our Roberts mission is a transformational experience, right? So we have a hand in transforming lives every single day. I always close my emails to my staff, especially with, you know, keep making an impact today. Find a way to impact these kids, setting a direction, teaching them life, right? Teaching them about Jesus Christ here on our campus, and just making sure that we are cultivating that soil. We're working it and working it. We don't know what's going to happen down the road, but some of the most rewarding things are hearing back from graduates, you know, 4 or 5 years down the road or whatever, that you spent some time with me, you made a difference. They still call me coach over here. I think that was probably what you dealt with too. You know, they know you as that, right?
Sure.
But it is that. It's transforming lives, you know, and helping them get ready for the next step, which is, again, doing life as an adult.
Yep, yep. And so you use the word coach, and I don't think that ever leaves you, right, Bob? I just think it's part of how God made us.
Yes, amen.
So what are the things that you miss most about those coaching days? Like, take it out of the AD hat mm-hmm. now and put on your former coaching hat. What do you miss? I'll tell you what I don't miss. I don't miss the long bus rides, but what do you miss?
Yeah, that might be that and the recruiting were the things that hastened the departure.
<number two.
laughs> Yeah. Yeah. It was getting really hard, but you know, having a group of like 15 and the molding of that, you know, looking at all their talents and putting it together as like a puzzle piece of, you know, are we going to run and gun? Are we going to, we got a post-up game this year. All that building, team building, the strategy of game day, I think that is huge. And then there's nothing like the competition, right? There's nothing like pregame in the locker room and getting fired up and hitting the court and the unknown and, you know, how you're going to do today and the adjustments. And I mean, and you're doing it in split seconds. I mean, I felt more comfortable in those moments than any other time. And I think you're right. I think we're built that way.
You definitely are. I used to love watching you coach. In fact, that's one of the things that honestly, Bob, is what now is I've transitioned into this new gig. It's been fun to really watch other people coach and it almost rekindles the very things of coaching back inside you.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. So I used to love watching you.
Well, do you remember?
I used to get a little fired up.
I was
going to
say, do you have, there's a lot of them, but I don't know if you remember this one, but if you have time for a quick thing, we both coached Joanna Padilano, right? Joe Pa.
Yes. Yes.
And I remember
Chopa.
Yeah. I remember we went to National Christians, the national tournament, first year coaching for me. And you were down there. And I remember us sitting around and talking with Joanna, and she made a statement like, "Coach," looking at me this time, not you, and said, "Coach," she goes, "you're the only coach I've ever had that never got a technical foul." Now, she had Rath, she had you, right? So volatile things. And so, you know, we get into the next day, we're playing the host school, that Oakland City. You're sitting right across from me.
Yes.
Right. In the stands, front row. As your role, you know, with the NCAA was. And we were getting just home job, I got to say, right?
Yes, and, of course.
And so I looked at you, I looked at Joanne, and I said, "Watch this." And I had been riding this one ref, and I can't remember his name, the whole game. And so he was a young kid. The veteran guy's name was Bob, like mine. And he comes over to me, and he says, "Listen," he goes, "let's just get through this first half. I'm going to talk to him. Let's not make it volatile. If you need to say anything, say it to me." So I look at him, who's on the baseline, and I yell, "Bob, Bob." And he looks over at me. I go, "That guy is the worst referee I've ever seen in my life." And the guy teased me, and I said, "Bob, you told me just to talk to you." And so Joanna got her technical. You were laughing as loud as you're laughing now. And off to halftime we went. So that I'll never forget that story. We just inducted you, I know, recently in the Hall of Fame. And Joanna went in the class before you. And as we were doing the prep for Joanna, we actually got as big a laugh out of that as you and I are having right now.
Yes.
Yeah, it's great.
And those are the moments in the fiery you know, contentious, sometimes just the moment, right?
Yeah.
Those are the things that your kids remember. Mm-hmm. You fought for them. You went to bat for them. And it just makes a great story. Well, we're going to wrap up the segment we call Five Bullet Points with this question. And it'll roll us into the next part. Bob, and I know a lot about your department and about you, but for our listeners, how do you define success in athletics at Roberts Wesleyan?
The success piece in athletics is, you know, just winning every day. John Wooden had defined right success as the peace of mind of knowing that you did the very best you could in that moment. And I think that's what we're asked to do. That's what God would want us to do. He wants us to run the race, right? And know that not everybody wins, but how are you running your race? And if we're doing that every day, then we are, you know, we are modeling Christ. We are becoming better people because quite honestly, when they graduate, they're not all going to be the president of a company or whatever. They're going to find their success in being the best they can every single day. And then as you do that and you stack those days and you move through your life, you know, you can look back and say, "Wow, I learned that. I learned that. I learned that. And now look at where I am." We can't get caught up in the wins and losses. We all want to win. And even the Bible says that. Run to win, right? But again, run in such a way because everybody doesn't win the prize that you're honoring Christ in what you do. So if we can do that, if we can graduate athletes in this case, but really all our campus, who know how to connect what they've learned, their head, as our president often says, to their heart, right? And to feel it, and then engage their hands to change the world. That's a win for me all day long. You know, we talked earlier about the student athletes we've all had that call back and say, "Hey, thanks. You know, look at me now. I'm a mom. I'm going, you know, I'm working as a principal." Yep. I mean, I'm talking about one specific person right now, even that just recently contacted me because now they're having their first child. And, you know, you get the texts on Father's Day and things like that. That's an eternal win. And that's what we want to be about.
Yep. I love that. And I love that not one time did you bring up the scoreboard.
Mm-mm.
You did say we all want to win. And that's just true.
Yeah. When,
but it's so much more. In the U.S. society, we're so just stuck on that success is just the scoreboard.
Yeah.
And it's so refreshing to hear that even in sport, even at Roberts Wesleyan, success is defined by so much more. Mm-hmm. Love it.
Yep.
Love
when I would recruit a kid, you know how parents, you know, parent-coach relationships are always kind of tedious at best, right? They're looking for their kid to get this. And we would sit in my office and I would say that same thing about lit up numbers on a scoreboard. I said, "You and I are going to disagree, mom and dad, about we're playing zone, we're playing man-to-man, I'm not playing your kid enough, I'm playing the other kid too much.
That's right.
All that stuff's going to happen. I said, but that's just how it's going to be. You know, the best will play, you know, they'll earn it in practice, et cetera. I said, the one time I really want you to get mad at me is that if all your kid talks about are lit up numbers on a scoreboard, then you need to get mad at me, because that's not what this is about, right? Those things fade away, you know? The life lessons, the things that we're learning, preparing them for the next step post-graduation is what I want you to really care about with me. And let's help your kid become a great adult that can, again, connect their head to their heart, engage their hands, and change the world.
So that is five bullet points with Bob Seagave, the director of athletics at Roberts Wesleyan. We're going to transition now into COVID-19 and the world of athletics. And this is a, I'll just say, weird time. And as an athletic director, you are heavy into planning, probably over planning. But you've also been through a time period where you've had to walk your student athletes, your coaches, your campus community through what was the end of winter sports and what never happened, spring sports. And so I'm guessing, in keeping with NCAA and your ECC guidelines, your conference guidelines, I'm guessing all your Red Hawk practices and competitions were canceled for most of or all of the spring sports season. So, one, how did student athletes respond to the cancellation of all of that? And how are your coaches responding to what was the downtime for them during that time frame?
Yeah, so, you know, the student athletes, to say disappointed is an understatement. But at the same time, I want to say that they handled it very well. This was really hard. We had begun lacrosse already. We were wrapped up in all the winter sports except for bowling and women's basketball. Those two sports had postseason events going on. Mm-hmm. Our bowling team found out halfway to Vermont that their championship was canceled and had to turn around and head back.
Oh, literally,
yeah,
driving.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that was brutal news to deliver. And you can imagine, I mean, the young ladies all fired up and ready to go, and they had their best year. They won their first set of tournaments, and, you know, it just breaks your heart. Yeah. Women's basketball is going to Cedarville. Are we leaving? Are we not? Yes, we're going, but your parents can go, but nobody else. By the time they got there, we played the game, but nobody was allowed in the stands. So our bus driver sent me a picture. He was actually wormed his way in somehow, you know, Kenny Bagul. And and he sent me a picture of an empty, you know, empty stadium there with just him. And it was just eerie, right? And they played the game with no fans. And, you know, we lost. We were close at halftime. But I think from what I heard to the kids, you know, at that point, they had known that even if they had won, there was going to be no, we were in the process of canceling everything else. So there wasn't even going to be a championship. Right, talk about weird. And talking to them,
yes,
just like, coach, it was too hard. We just knew our senior years were over. Now, luckily, they had a senior day for lacrosse, which, again, began. No senior day, couldn't finish out their season. And you watch them work so hard, right, Chris? They have that fall 40-day period or whatever where they're working their butts off, and our women's lacrosse practices in the morning so they can get the turf field before soccer, which is in season, gets it. So there, sure, I drive by them on the way into work, and they're out there under the lights, and it's miserable, and they're working hard, and then they're going to class. And we got ranked in women's lacrosse for the first time ever. So we're a top 20 team now. And, you know, our only loss was a one goal loss down at St. Leo's, which was ranked above us in the polls. So we had knocked off two top 25 teams, and then to see them have to stop that, you know, what was on its way to being an historic season. And then you got sports that didn't even start, like you mentioned, like track and field, same thing, that worked so hard. And, you know, golf that couldn't finish their championship, tennis that never got to play a match. You know, they do some things in the fall again to get ready, but no championships. So I'm proud of how they handled it, but you know, it was the hardest thing I have ever had to do to deliver that news. That was just brutal. Yeah.
Had to be. And so talk a little bit about your coaches. Like, how have they, one, how did they take the news? But then two, I'm guessing that they quickly rebounded and started to really think and focus on the student athlete. What, how did they respond? And then how did they respond going forward?
Yeah, there was disappointment. You know, that, that weekend coming up after we canceled the women's basketball, we were still willing to play home games until that Monday, which was like March 15th or 16th. I forget the date. But then the visiting team slowly backed out of those. And so we had hoped to do kind of a pseudo senior celebration for lacrosse, but we weren't able to do that. Yes. So we never played a game after that empty arena basketball game. And they were disappointed, but I am so proud of how they responded. You know, we do a virtual office hours every morning now, and they can come in or not come in. It's not a big deal, but I'm in there. And the best conversations are, we talk about family, we talk about life, we talk about how their kids are doing in the new online, how they're supporting each other. We have coaches who are doing, you know, chat game kind of things in a chat room on weekends, and their whole team is showing up, and they're still building team.
Right. Yeah,
they're still building camaraderie. We're checking in on their mental health. We're monitoring their grades even more than ever, because a great student in a classroom might not be a great student online. And we've seen some of that. So making sure that we get them the right resources. We brought in our FAR, faculty athletic representative. We brought in people from the learning center to talk skills to the coaches. And the coaches, again, have been so great in just making sure that their kids know that they're cared for and loved for, even though we're not playing, right? And that reinforces that success message, that we care about every piece of your life, and not just that, you know, you can't play sports with a Roberts jersey on. So, you know, maybe we'll see you in the fall, maybe we won't. And I'm so proud of them.
So you've talked a little bit about how student athletes are staying involved with their teams. And you said that coaches are, you know, using online platforms and having discussions. Are there other ways that the student athletes are being involved with teams and virtual workouts? What's allowed during this time? Did the NCAA make any changes in those areas?
So immediately, again, in the, you know, in the early days of this, they just announced like a total dead period. You could keep in contact with your kids, but they froze all recruiting. They froze all workouts, things like that. But now they've been very responsive as far as things that you can do with your team. And they are doing that. They're doing virtual workouts. Our trainers are doing virtual training rehab sessions, which is an interesting thing on its own. We have some international students who are still on campus. So, you know, coaches chat them up. Some of them are rehabbing injuries. Some of them just plain couldn't get home. But they can actually come in the training room, and then we sterilize and do everything, you know, overnight again. And then we bring them back in again to help them through. But I'm proud of how they're finding their own ways too. Captains, in our women's soccer program, I'll give you that example, but there, again, there's numerous ones.
Yeah.
The captains have split up their team into, like, you know, she has four captains. They have like 30 varsity players. So you got like seven or eight in a group. And then every week they switch the group. So the captain moves to the second group, third group, fourth group. And they just, again, hold these open forums. Some of them, our basketball team is kind of doing a, let's all get together and encourage each other by being there and doing homework. And it's almost like a virtual study hall. Mm. What are you struggling with? And they're doing the same thing. We have three coaches, and they split the group up on those. And then our head coach, Mark Salagis, is involved with each one daily. But then the assistants have a group, and then they rotate through. And that was a build off of the morning, you know, virtual office hours. Let's talk. What are you doing? What's sticking? What's not? So,
absolutely. Sharing of the ideas. And that's
again,
great.
The things that they come up with, I'm like, wow, that's great. You know, if I was coaching, I would have done that. You know, kind of thing. So,
Well, those are inspiring to know that even during all of this, where we're so separated, that your coaches and it sounds like your student athletes are really trying to engage in any way possible to make it seem as, and I'm doing air quotes, as normal as possible for the student athletes and for the teams at large. Bob, talk a little bit now about how are you working with your conference, which is the ECC. How are you working with those schools? And then also, maybe as you flare out and you're in that leadership group with the NCAA as an AD of an NCAA school, what is the conference trying to work on? And then at large, what's the NCAA and Division II thinking about at this point?
So we have, a conference that expands across the hotbed, New York State, right? But we're in, we're more in Western New York, which is actually closer to Ohio, which I even saw yesterday that, on May 28th, I think they're going to open up to like non-contact sports and stuff. And they're talking about their high schools coming back in and maybe playing baseball and softball for the gals, And so that's crazy to hear. And yet we get lumped in when we're talking to our colleagues about, well, New York, maybe you guys just got to, not have a season, but everybody else will, or, whatever. And that downstate is a serious concern. So with most of our conference down there, we are really having a hard time trying to plan because we're in different, we just went to phase one. So things opened up yesterday here a little bit. But they're not even close to that. So how do we partner together? As conference ADs, as conference presidents, within the leadership, to make sure that we can do the best we can again for the kids, not losing ever losing sight of that. So, we're agreeing to maybe have to play some local D3s, which isn't necessarily the best thing for a D2 school to be doing, but our D3s around us are all in the same boat. Will we play across conferences and kind of re-regionalize? Like we're closer to Lemoyne, which is a Northeast 10 school, than any of our other teams except for Damon. So do we do home and homes with Lemoyne and somehow we're just building a schedule and, playoffs would be regionally ranked or whatever. So you're working through that part. You're working through the NCAA, which I think the biggest thing now, the management council met Friday. The presidents are meeting on Monday. To decide on this whole idea of minimums and maximums, right? And how many sports you need. So that's the big hot button right now. Lots of surveys going on. ADs were pretty much 80% in favor of reducing both minimums and maximums to kind of keep the playing field the same. Like if 80% of the schools want to just play the minimum next year and 20% want to play the max, well, that's a huge gap, as you know. So if I'm only going to play like eight now in soccer and there's some schools around that are going to play 16, 17, if I'm a student athlete, I'm asking for a release maybe, and I'm going somewhere else. Right. So, and there's a little pushback there. I'm interested to see how that goes because there are some institutions that are really saying we're capable of, and we want to play the max, but, I wasn't involved at the D2 level and you weren't either, back in the Great Recession. But I've learned a lot about how the NCAA and especially D2 led the way through that. That's what led to our whole Life in the Balance platform at D2. They reduced the same thing. They reduced minimums and maximums. They started on a roll of holistic, which is what drew us to D2 when we were making our decision to leave NAIA. And I think that might be the same with you. So a refocus to that is really good. A refocus and then a partnership. We're constantly talking and meeting. There's more information flowing than at any time since I've been an AD from the NCAA through our ECC conference. And I love that our ADs, my associate or my associates within the peers
Your
college.
colleagues.
Thank you. That's a great word. So my colleagues, I'll have to remember that for the Bobcast. My colleagues are squarely on board with helping out, even when somebody might get a little selfish, like a what about me? Then another AD, maybe not even involved in the conversation, was let's not lose sight of, we're a team. This is one year. Let's help each other get through this. And then it kind of settles down. Yeah, it's good wonderful stuff. So lots going on though. Yeah, and it changes.
There's I know your world after being in it for a number of years, that there's that your job as the athletic director is to plan again, and then think of another plan that no one would ever think about. And so it's great to hear that the ECC and even the D3 schools in the Rochester area, you're all talking about the what ifs and trying to figure out what the plan will be, knowing that it's still going to change likely today, maybe tomorrow. So that gets us into question four here. Things change every day. And as you're planning, you're also trying to figure out what's the biggest concern and how's it going to affect us. Right now, what's the biggest concern you have relative to COVID-19 and how it's affecting or will affect Red Hawk Athletics?
I think it's how do you, because you're right. We have five scenarios. I'm down here in my my office in the basement, and I've got big pieces of paper across where I'm just writing what is every scenario of these five, right? And then we've got six, which is we're just virtual all year, and that's an easy answer. I think the biggest thing that as I look at them and I go across is how do we keep the athletes safe? How do we compete safely? You know, are we testing as they get on a bus and then they go to the opponent, and then so then I reverse it. Okay, so they show up at our door. Are we testing them again? Some of the schools in our conference are actually setting up like almost little triage tent hospital-y kind of things. So before you can walk in their gym, they're talking about, okay, well, we're going to temp everybody. We're going to ask five questions. Do you have the temperature? Do you have the non-productive cough, whatever? Yeah. But the question is, what if you find one? The whole team's been on a bus for 6 hours or something together. So are you playing the game or not? Are you canceling? And then separate entrances for teams, sterilizing when they leave the visiting team rooms. Are we going to have them in the training room? Or, you know, as an ECC school, a lot of us don't travel with our trainers. We rely on the other. But now maybe we've got to send our trainers and we just stay in a locker room with the trainer. We hit the floor or the court or the field. You know, and we play our game and then we get on the bus and we get out of there. And do women stay and watch men when there's no spectators? I mean, so it's just how are we keeping these student athletes safe is the biggest concern. And you, even with all that, can you ensure it? You know, I don't know that you can get right down there. Right. So that's my biggest, you know, wake you up in the middle of the night kind of thing is how are we going to keep them safe? Right.
Yep. And that kind of answered the fifth question I have. So I'm gonna end it with this, Bob. As we've talked earlier, and again, we know each other so well. You are a positive guy, and if you're ever gonna lean somewhere, it's gonna be that rah rah. We can do this. Let's go. Mm-hmm. Follow me. So here's your chance, Red Hawk Nation. What do you want them to know from your seat in the basement office at your residence here during COVID-19? What would you tell Red Hawk Nation
today?
Yeah,
I would say, you know, we're all in this together. We love you. We're praying for you every single day. We're trying to make sure that we are doing the best for you to return safely, whenever that is. But keeping in mind your safety, because when I talk Red Hawks, it's every student. You know, we talk a lot about what it means to be a Red Hawk, and I was pleased to deliver one of the five kind of pre-commencement messages, and they said do it to the athletes, but you know, I said it's really the athletes, the players are the people in the stands too. They're the people that wear the gear and fire up, you know, in chapel and do different things. I mean, we are all Red Hawks, so you know, while I acknowledge the sadness around, like we spoke about earlier, you know, the spring sports, especially being canceled. I really feel for those kids who couldn't walk across the stage and you know, who were in the stands that I got to know. Cause like you, I mean, I sit in the stands, I try to cheer along. I try to learn and know the people that we're talking about. So, you know, let's make sure that we all know that we're in this together. Let's stay connected virtually now, but when we get back on campus as well, and let's make sure that we remember we're all Red Hawks, that we're leaders. We show vision and wisdom. We show strength and courage through this, and we make our college proud, you know, as Red Hawks every day. We will not bring you back to an unsafe situation. You know, we are taking every single, you know, possible scenario and making sure that we're as best prepared as possible for it.
Well, listeners, that is Bob Seagave, the director of athletics at Roberts Wesleyan College. You got to love this guy. If you want to learn more about him, you can follow him on Twitter. Bob, give him the Twitter.
Yeah, very simple. I'm at Bob Seagave, and you can see what's going on. Yeah,
that is simple.
Yeah, no frills, no thrills. Well, maybe a little thrills.
Well, give Bob a follow. Thank you. But you can also go to robertsredhawks.com, robertsredhawks.com, to find out more about Robert Seagave and Roberts Wesleyan Athletics, the only D2 school in Rochester, New York. Bob, thanks for being on
today's
podcast.
Thanks, Chris. I really enjoyed it. And good luck with this. I'm enjoying your work so far, and I know it's only going to keep going vertical, right? You got it.
Get vertical.
All right. Thank you.
Well, we have reached the end of another episode of The Vertical View. If you love Vertical View, please subscribe, rate, and give us reviews on Spotify, Anchor FM, Google Podcasts, or any of the platforms that you listen to your podcasts. Also, for more information about me, follow me on Twitter at @the_VE_executive. @the_VE_executive. For now, I'll see you next time at The Vertical View.